when you have a specialty, when defense lawyers recognize your specialty, it allows you to increase the value of the case relative to other lawyers that may handle that case, not have that specialty, and not understand how to turn that case into 2 to 3 times the value. Specialties matter.
Welcome to the Law Talk Podcast, where we break down what it takes to succeed at the business of law without sacrificing the life you want. The first season is devoted on increasing value in every case, while also living a life that provides happiness, purpose, and roots that run deep. Before we dive in, a little background. Hollis Wright & Clay is a law firm based in Birmingham, Alabama, with 10 seasoned trial lawyers on staff, a firm built on experience, excellence, and decades of incredible results. With that, we welcome in the managing partner of Hollis Wright & Clay, Josh Wright. Show 4 here with David Lamb, here with Josh Wright, managing partner of Hollis Wright. I love the statement, if you will, of this show. So tricks learned over 25 years to double and triple the value of your cases. Now that's quite a promise.
Well, isn't that what we're all trying to do as lawyers, right? Especially on our side of the bar, we're trying to have successful results for our clients that impact our law firms, but also impact the people that we represent. And if you want to be a great lawyer, you got to find a way to use things that have been learned and invented by other people in order to increase the value of your own case using your own abilities.
Do you have or do you believe in a general methodology when it comes to turning the case into more?
Yeah, I think so. We train our guys here at the firm with a kind of a methodology.
Okay.
It starts with having to get the case, right? That is an important component to what we do up here. Yeah. Whether it's marketing, referrals, or direct in cases, we're encouraging our guys to get out in the community, get involved in order to get business. That really is the start of the methodology, because you got to have those cases to be able to turn them. Two, is to really aggressively evaluate them. I think a lot of law firms out there, David, may not have a large volume of cases. So they're taking cases they don't know if they can be successful on in order to maybe turn a fee down the road on those cases. And I'm not critical of those firms. Sometimes in certain areas of our state, you've got to do that. But what I would tell you is a lot of times you spin your wheel in order to try and make a case turn into something that it doesn't, and you've wasted your time in the long run. So for us, really step 2 is to fully and completely evaluate cases with experts as needed. And think of it this way. Sometimes forensics are necessary in a case. It's one thing to say a commercial vehicle crossed the center line and caused an accident. Sounds like a clear liability case. But when you evaluate that case, as an example, cases we've had where you download the black box data, you download cell phone data, and maybe you find out in the course of this evaluation that there's a significant defense that the trucking company has, like, as an example, that the driver had a seizure. And maybe now it's not as much about the conduct of the driver as it is the conduct of the company.
Right.
And the role the company played in hiring that individual. Or it becomes a medical case. Was that driver properly medically evaluated? So my point being is that you've got to fully and completely evaluate cases on the front end in order to determine if they're good cases. If we file your case, you're going to find that it's going to be a good case.
But is it not? I would think it would be important to try to do that as quickly as possible, because if you invest in a great deal of time in a case that you're going to end up not taking on, that's kind of wasted money.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And that's what you do want to do, is to try and evaluate the case as thoroughly as you possibly can prior to filing the case. But you can do that in a expeditious manner and get it done quickly.
And I would think you'd get better at that over the years, I would think, in
for
terms
sure.
of process and
That's right.
Evaluation.
And not just that, we roundtable a lot of cases here. I mean, not the run-of-the-mill cases that are easy to evaluate, but more complicated product liability suits or commercial vehicle cases, they're roundtabled here at our law firm among multiple lawyers in order to make sure we're making the right decision to file the right case in the first place.
What role does dispute resolution with adjusters and other lawyers, for that matter, play in the value of your case?
I think you have to know when it is time to put your foot on somebody and take your foot off of them. And, you know, one of the mistakes I've seen younger lawyers make along the way dealing with adjusters, defense lawyers, and those that are adversarial to our side and our position is they get emotional and make it personal. None of this is emotional and personal. And don't get me wrong, I tell clients this all the time when we meet. And I say, I'm cutting all the emotion out right now because this is a business venture for us. You've hired me to protect your interests and to maximize the value of your case based on the facts and circumstances of your case. We'll get emotional and show emotion in front of a jury, but we're not going to do that now because we need to fully evaluate this case and decide whether or not the case is meritorious or not. And so people get emotional and think the case is personal to them. It's about a win-loss. I would recommend you don't do that. I'm not saying you have to show weakness in dealing with adjusters, because there is a time when you want to put your foot down on somebody and when you want to take it off, but don't get emotional about it. Don't make it personal. It's not about a win-loss. It is about a business venture because you've been hired to represent somebody and you want to focus on having a relationship. Eventually that adjuster may be required to settle your case. Eventually that defense lawyer who you fired up because you got emotional about it doesn't want to settle the case when it should be settled. And so having a relationship with those people also matters.
Let's take a break, but when we come back, let's dive into the value of relationships, specifically with other attorneys.
Yeah.
Because I know referral is important, and let's dive a little bit more into that and maybe some tips on how you can encourage our folks who are joining us to get better at that. As we head to break, I want to remind you, hollis-wright.com. That's where you need to go to find everything you need about this podcast and about this firm and about Josh Wright. Hollis-Wright.com. While there, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review. And that would really help us spread the word about the Law Talk podcast. Stay tuned. We're coming back right after this quick break.
You see us each Sunday night on The Attorneys. But remember, our attorneys are here all week long to help you with your personal injury claim.
Our attorneys are standing by right now to give you a free consultation at Hollis Wright. Your result matters. Did you know a tractor trailer weighs upwards of 80,000 pounds and a car only weighs 4,000 pounds? Well, that's a big difference if you've been injured in an accident. Call us now. Our attorneys are standing by right now to help. At Hollis Wright, your result matters.
So I have been privileged to have gone to a few events with you. You know a whole lot of attorneys. I'll just say that. You know a lot of folks. So I'm curious about the role that your relationships with lawyers, not only those who've sent you business, but even those that are co-litigating with you, that they play in the value in that, because clearly you see a value in relationships you have with other attorneys.
Well, for sure. You know, we went through early on, you asked me about methodology. And do you have a methodology? Of course, step one in that methodology is acquiring cases, right? So relationships matter. And getting cases matters. Having those relationships, and maybe you have, for example, an expertise in a certain area of law that they don't have an expertise in, or vice versa. And you want to work with other lawyers. But in order to be able to work with other lawyers and to acquire cases for your law firm and for your practice, you've got to have those relationships. And you've got to be able to maintain those relationships. And that may be as simple as doing a monthly newsletter or doing a monthly email update about cases that you're working on or a specialty that you have. If you come across our firm, you're going to get added to our database, and we're going to market to you every 30 days about the things that our lawyers can do to assist you and your clients. And vice versa, I have plenty of lawyers that do that to me too, right? So I do believe it's critically important to have relationships with a lot of other lawyers. And here's something else that I think is very important in the practice of law, something I've learned in my time litigating cases on the plaintiff's side. And that is, don't try and hit home runs, hit singles. Some of the greatest hitters in the world have hit singles, right? And had an incredible career. And we follow a similar mentality around here. And let me tell you how that phrase, that concept works its way into the practice of law. Some lawyers, when they get cases, will try and turn that case into a gigantic case by going and spending, you know, $600,000 on expenses and losing that case and losing those expenses. When you hit singles, you may have a great case, but sometimes the way to make sure that you diversify and protect your downside is to join forces with other lawyers mm-hmm. who want to participate in that case. And think of it this way. If I have that same case and I have the brain power of three different law firms involved in one case, the reality is that we may share expenses, diversify our potential losses down the road, and hitting a single there as opposed to trying to hit the home run. Now, we're all going to have some cases here and there where hitting a home run is like hitting a softball over a short fence, right? Yeah. But in the general practice of things, we try and hit singles, not home runs around here, to make the right business decisions for the benefit of our clients and for the law firm.
Do you have maybe some examples of how you've cemented relationships with referring sources for cases that come down the road?
Honesty, right? We talked about this in other podcasts. I think it's super important to be honest with a referring lawyer. When a referring lawyer sends a case to this law firm, I don't ever want them to question whether or not they are going to get a referral fee on that. As a law firm that has a television show and has for 13 years, where we're receiving calls about stuff that we don't handle as a firm on a weekly basis, and we're sourcing it to lawyers that are experts in that area, I know the importance of when I send something to someone expecting that there's going to be some level of referral back and forth and that there's going to be a referral fee for the cases that we send them. That's important for our business. It's also important for the way that people need to be able to trust us. And so if a case sat here for 4 years somehow and didn't get litigated, was slower than normal, but that case settled and it has been forgotten about, you still pay that referring lawyer. Here's another thing that we do, a trick that we've learned after 25 years. David, every case that comes in our law firm is coded. It's coded where it came from, who it came from. If it turns out that a next door neighbor of someone who had a bad case previously was referred by someone, that is fruit from the same tree, where we may call that referring lawyer and say, hey, this came from the same fruit of the tree that you sent us. That's a relationship you probably should have moving forward too. And that individual lawyer may be incentivized in some way to participate in that case with us. And so that's another way to make sure that you cement relationships with referring lawyers, is just be honest with them and make sure they recognize you're not taking their referral business away. If fruit of the tree comes down the road, you're going to make it worth their while to do that.
Whenever we began this podcast talking about doubling and tripling the value, so talk a little bit about how you can actually get that done. How can you triple, quadruple the value of a case that comes into your firm?
So number one, I think, is a comprehensive damage assessment needs to be done in cases. And generally what we're talking about is when you have an injury, a lot of times it's easy to go through the motions of just using the ER records to try and resolve the claim. Well, it may turn out that that individual, you know, never received the MRI they needed. They need to go get an MRI. And if they get that MRI may show that they had a herniation that had not manifested itself yet. So you've done kind of a comprehensive damages analysis for them related to their potential injury. Second thing is oftentimes we find heat in cases. And what is heat? Heat is conduct of the defendant that is above and beyond simple negligence, right? So it may come in the form of downloading the black box of a vehicle and realizing they never applied their brakes. Well, what is that indicative of? That's indicative of being distracted. Why are people distracted in today's world? They text and drive. Texting is so prevalent in today's world and in the accidents that we see on roads. And of course, I'm only using an auto accident as an example. Yeah, yeah. It could come in an industrial accident setting. It could come in a whole host of different settings, one way or the other. So you've got to find and determine whether there's heat in cases. And there are a lot of ways for you to be able to do that. So beyond those two things, one of the things that I would really recommend is getting experts involved. Mm-hmm. We get experts involved all the time. An expert may be a vocational expert that helps establish future lost access to the job market or previous lost wages, right? There's a way. Mm-hmm. Life care planners. We use life care planners a lot in significant permanent injuries. And also finding a way to use the jury charges that we all use as lawyers to your advantage. An example would be a permanent injury jury charge. Be creative in how you argue to a jury permanency and how the jury, there's no real metric on permanency, how the jury can award permanent damages. Those are four simple examples, and we could delve deeper, but those are four simple examples that we use around here and train our guys to make sure that we're fully and completely forensically evaluating, looking for heat, making sure we're using experts, using our line of credit to the benefit of our clients to increase value two, threefold from what other people would get.
I want to take a break right here, but when we come back, I'm curious if there have been cases that others have turned down that you all not only took, but have seen success. Let's get into that. Let's take a break. As we do so, a reminder, hollis-wright.com has all the information there. And however you're listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to share and review. An interesting thing about you guys is your YouTube channel.
I'm so proud of it. What our marketing director has done with the YouTube channel and the number of people that subscribe to our YouTube channel, we have television shows that we've run for 13 years, mm-hmm. many of which have had thousands and thousands of views. Mm-hmm. I really feel like we have provided a service that's helping others.
Right.
The podcast is going to be launched on that too. So subscribe to that and make sure you know when we have new stuff that comes out so it gets immediately sent to you so you've got access to it.
Yeah. So it's going to be available on YouTube, wherever social media, whatever form you use there, whatever platform you use, also however you take in your podcast. All right, we're stepping aside. More of the Law Talk podcast coming right up.
The attorneys, proudly sponsored by the law firm of Hollis Wright, are here to serve you.
When we started the show in 2011, my goal was to do what our firm does best: help people answer questions related to real-world legal issues they have in their lives in a way that's not intimidating to talk with a lawyer. If the issue is important to you, it's equally important to us, and we're ready to talk with you at no cost.
Yeah, oftentimes people are confronting various legal issues in their lives that really run the gamut of a lot of different legal practice areas, such as bankruptcy, criminal law, civil law, such as personal injury, divorces, domestic relations. And to be able to have a show once a week that covers those practice areas and answers people's questions in those areas, that's really the main objective of the show.
We use the resources of the many lawyers at our law firm to create a plan that has a lasting impact for each person that calls or texts. And we also give back to the community at the same time. We are here to serve you, the viewer, each week on The Attorneys.
I am curious, because you have relationships with many attorneys, and I would just assume you guys talk shop. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But I'm just wondering if there are cases that show up at this firm that others have passed on, that you all take that case and do something great with it?
Such a great question. Really is. That happens a lot. And I am confident, David, that there have been a couple cases we've turned down along the way that others have taken too. But, we talked in one of the segments today about the importance of a comprehensive damage assessment and kind of a comprehensive evaluation of the case before you decide if you're going to take it. And that takes a little time, but it ensures that the case you're taking is going to have more value for you. And so I think it kind of weighs into that. A lot of times someone will turn a case down because they wanted something quick and easy.
Right.
They did not want to put the effort in. I can think of two cases. One is a college athlete pool drowning case that we handled and got an incredible verdict in. Another is an industrial accident where a gentleman lost his arm. Both cases had been turned down by other law firms because they were too complicated, or there were too many damages or defenses that could have been asserted in those cases. And when we did our full and complete evaluation that included the benefits of the case, the positives of the case, and the negatives of the case, we were able to find a way to use the law to our advantage in both of those cases and had incredible results in both of them. And I'm so proud I got to represent those clients mm-hmm. during that time. So we see that a lot. And what I would say is, just because someone's turned it down, don't simply say, well, if it's been turned down by one lawyer, I'm going to turn it down. Do your own evaluation. Mm-hmm. Do your own assessment. Establish whether or not that case is viable or not. And then, if it's not, then you can refer it to the bar or to some other lawyer.
How much does specialization come into play here? Because I would think that there are areas where you all really are just the top in the nation. So I would think a case that maybe someone who does not have that expertise may miss some things that you all would see, and vice versa for that matter.
So the show is about trying to turn a case into 2 to 3 times mm-hmm. its value. Part of the way to do that is to have certain specialties in life okay. and in your practice. For example, I am a specialist in a couple of different areas. Industrial accident cases under co-employee statutes in the Southeast. I have cases in multiple states on that. Dram shop litigation, which is alcohol-related cases where someone consumes too much alcohol, leaves a bar, a restaurant, a convenience store, causes significant catastrophic injury. I have those cases all over the place. I'm a specialist in that. And the reality is I've handled so many of those cases. I speak on the topics. I'm involved in the legislation mm-hmm. in Alabama on those topics. We do television shows on it, etc. When you have a specialty, when defense lawyers recognize your specialty, it allows you to increase the value of the case relative to other lawyers that may handle that case, not have that specialty, and not understand how to turn that case into 2 to 3 times the value. Specialties matter.
How risk-based is plaintiff's law?
You know, any business that has to decide whether or not they're going to take cases, then fund those cases on a contingency fee basis, mm-hmm. eat the loss if they lose, and get the benefit if they win, has to be risk-based,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How I describe it to people, because I have lots of friends that are in other industries that ask me at times about, how do y'all make decisions on your cases? That seems like a risky venture. A couple things. One is we make very calculated risk decisions up here. And that's why we roundtable a lot of our cases, to make sure that we're making the right decision on the case that we want to put our money in for the benefit of the client under our contingency fee agreement, which basically means we only recover if they recover. If we lose, we eat the expenses and don't charge the client.
Right.
That's a contingency fee. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, and we hadn't really talked about this in the podcast, but you need to have a relationship with your banker. Whoever your banker is, mm-hmm. whatever your financial institution is, you better have a relationship with those people. They need to know you personally. They need to trust you personally, and they need to know that you're going to shoot them straight when you're asking them for lines of credit mm-hmm. to handle these cases. And having a line of credit allows you to reduce the risk in practicing law, because you're betting on yourself and you're betting on your case, and you have the ability to really dilute the risk in practicing law if you have a line of credit that means something that you can use for the benefit of your clients. And I think it's a great way to market to clients, too, that you've got virtually unlimited resources to litigate cases because you've got good relationships with the banks.
We just got a few minutes remaining before we wrap up this episode, but I am curious about assessing talent in attorneys.
Yeah.
And this relative to how important do you think God-given talent is versus – And maybe even the most successful accomplished attorneys you know and have ever met. How much of it is it God-given talent, or is it something else? Is it hard work or luck or whatever else it may be?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of all of those things. Certainly talent weighs in, David. Mm-hmm. Having the ability to be talented is important. But the old saying goes, 80% of this is persistency, 20% is talent, right? And what I mean by that is the vast majority of what we do as lawyers in representing clients comes down to managing their case efficiently and effectively to maximize the value of the case. And that may come in the form of making sure that we're reducing our stress load before hearings by simply being prepared, right? Anxiety, or rather preparation, is a function of anxiety. When you're more prepared, you're less anxious, right? Well, don't underprepare. Be prepared. Don't wait until the day before your hearing. Don't wait until the day before an important deposition. Prepare 3 weeks in advance. Refresh the day before, right? And so a lot of it is anxiety load, making sure that you're persistent about the cases that you're handling. And then I'm a big believer that you've got to be the most, the way I'd say it is this, he's who controls the facts of their case, understands the case the best, and has a natural advantage. So that means if someone says something in a deposition, but I know the facts better than the defense lawyer knows the facts because I've read all these depositions when I got them in, I put everything into my notes so that I could refresh before the deposition. I know how important that statement is. He may not know that. I know if that hurts a defense of mine, he may not know that. I know if that's beneficial to the value of my case, he may not know that, right? And so knowing the facts also will matter in that whole process. So God-given talent matters, no mm-hmm. question. However, I think I've listed two or three other things that you can do that I think can give you a distinct advantage as a lawyer to increase the value of your cases that has nothing to do with God-given talent. It's just persistency and being willing to commit yourself to the case and really rolling your sleeves up.
Yeah. As we wrap up this episode, what is a closing argument, if you will, that you'd like to make to those who are joining us?
You know, I think the importance of evaluating a case is so critically important. You can be dead from the start in the case. If you don't like your client because there's something about your client that they have a personality trait that doesn't gee-haw with people very well, mm-hmm. the jury's going to pick up on that. If you have a bad venue, if there's a really bad defense in your case that could hurt you, if the liability is super thin, all of those things have to be properly evaluated on the front end. So, you know, one of the things that I would highly recommend is don't take cases that are dead from the start. Make sure the cases you're evaluating and plugging into your law firm for litigation are worth the time and the effort and the money to represent the benefit of that client moving forward. There is nothing wrong with saying that case is really questionable, I don't know if I could make money on that, and referring that case out or turning that case down and waiting for the next case to come in. Select your cases correctly to make sure that you can maximize the value on those cases.
Good stuff. We're going to leave it there. As we wrap this up, a reminder, we'd love to hear from you. Hollis-Wright.com is the website and ways to contact Josh. If there are subjects maybe you want us to discuss or questions you've got, would love to hear those. The opportunity to do that is there at Hollis-Wright.com. Also, there'll be links to the shows and ways for you to subscribe and share on whatever platform you prefer. It means a great deal to us if you would share this with anyone and everyone. As always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time here on the Law Talk Podcast.